a look at the issue of illegal dumping in Haines. And wolf and deer hunt changes are on the Southeast Subsistence Council agenda. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Abby Collins. Those stories are up next. Haines is a scenic town, surrounded by the ocean and towering mountains. But there's one big eyesore that's taken over parts of the area: garbage. Like some other cities, illegal dumping is a problem the community can't seem to get a handle on. But there's hope that could change with a different system for waste disposal. This story is part of the Coast Alaska series, Talking Trash. About 25 miles out the Haines Highway, there's a pullout. From the road, a large sand pile obstructs trails leading to the Chilkat River. In the summer, they provide a short route down to the water. In the winter, a popular cross-country ski track. Over the years, the area has also become an informal and illegal dump.
So this is a chest freezer, it looks like.
Yep. Chest freezer, an old stereo.
Derek Poinsett is interim director of the Tokchinook Watershed Council. He also lives out the highway and drives by the 25-mile eyesore regularly. He says illegal dumping here has been an issue for as long as he can remember.
A printer, maybe?
It's a computer monitor.
Yeah. Mattress.
Yep, bunch of burned out mattresses.
The Watershed Council runs community cleanups, and Poinsett says this particular trash pile gets removed every couple years. Poinsett says it's not just an eyesore. Illegal dumping causes environmental concerns as well. So why would people bring garbage here instead of the sanctioned landfill? Poinsett points to money.
I think it's just expensive. Anything that has any weight to it is expensive to get rid of.
That has been a driving factor in the conversation a local working group started last year. The question before them: is there a better way for Haines to deal with solid waste? Right now, Haines has one option for garbage disposal: privately owned Community Waste Solutions. Many residents load their garbage into their car or truck, drive it to the landfill, and pay by weight. Mixed waste costs 27 cents per pound. There's one other option for some items: the nonprofit Haines Friends of Recycling. They'll also take things such as refrigerators and washing machines for a fee. For people who don't generate a lot of trash or get rid of waste by burning it or recycling, the garbage company's pay by the pound is a pretty cheap system. But that's not true for everyone.
It's expensive to get rid of your trash here.
Darcy Kolbeck chairs Haines' Solid Waste Working Group. He says illegal dumping isn't the main motivation for the conversation they're having, but it's a symptom of the bigger problem.
I've been here 30 years and as a wilderness guide and a person that's out in the bushes quite a bit, and it's a big problem. There's lots of trash out in the, if you do the community cleanups in the spring and walk the ditches, there's garbage, all over the place. It's disgusting.
That's the weird thing, right? This has been a problem for a long time. It's common knowledge that there are trashed appliances sitting out at 25-mile and garbage and pullouts along the highway. So why is it still happening?
Usually the things are deposited in the dead of night by people who don't leave their names behind.
Deborah Schnabel is Haines Borough Manager.
So it's impossible to identify who was the previous owner.
Schnabel grew up in Haines, and she does remember a time when this wasn't such a big issue. She points to what she sees as the turning point: when the borough ended mandatory trash pickup. Schnabel says reinstating mandatory pickup isn't necessarily the answer here, but she does think accountability should be introduced back into the system. She explains one possible approach.
You can have an account with the borough, but you can manage it yourself. You can choose to take it to the dump, you can choose to recycle 100% or 90%. You can, as long as we know what you're doing with your garbage, I'm not telling you what you have to do, but it has to be done in a safe manner.
Illegal dumping is a problem that persists throughout Southeast. In the last year, Tongass National Forest law enforcement officers responded to nearly 30 cases. Public Affairs Officer Paul Robbins says it's a consistent problem. He says there are particularly problematic areas, such as Sitka's Harbor Mountain Road and Ketchikan's Brown Mountain Road. In Haines, the waste group has a recommendation for the assembly that includes setting up a transfer station in a central location, funded through a sales tax hike. That would reduce the cost per pound to just 2 to 8 cents. Illegal dumping brings penalties. Fines for littering range from $50 to $100. But because it's so hard to figure out who's doing it, they don't serve as much of a deterrent. Whether a new strategy for waste disposal is the light at the end of the trash-filled tunnel remains to be seen. The Haines Assembly met with the Solid Waste Working Group earlier today to consider the group's final report and recommendation. The region's Advisory Council on Subsistence is meeting in Juneau, October 31st through November 2nd. They'll make recommendations on proposed changes to deer, wolf, bear, and moose hunting, and trapping regulations in Southeast Alaska. KFSK's Joe Vicknicki reports.
The Southeast Alaska Subsistence Regional Advisory Council is made up of 13 area residents. It recommends changes to regulations for both fish and wildlife management, changes that mainly impact rural residents hunting and fishing on federal land. Several of the proposals this year seek to increase hunting and trapping of wolves in southern and central Southeast. One seeks an increase in the harvest of wolves on Prince of Wales Island. That was submitted by the Southeast Council. Mike Bangs of Petersburg is the chair.
The information that we've been given and talking with ADF&G about their estimates, and then the federal biologists down there have been working with the state, and they realize that there are probably a lot more wolves than what they originally thought. And so we made the proposal to increase the percentage and the take of wolves down there so that we can maintain a balance of, you know, having plenty of deer and still have a healthy stock of wolves.
In 2016, DNA sampling of wolves on the island was expanded and produced a higher estimate of wolf numbers at 231. A combined state and federal quota for hunting and trapping this year is 46. Several commenters opposed the council's proposal to increase the wolf harvest, arguing that wolf numbers are low on the island and should not be further reduced. The Office of Subsistence Management also opposes the increase, saying the higher harvest of wolves is likely to create conservation concerns. The council is also proposing to extend some wolf seasons on portions of the southeast mainland, along with hunting and trapping seasons around Petersburg, Wrangell, and Cake. Some of the proposed changes would address deer hunting. The council is proposing to set a customary and traditional use determination for all rural residents in Southeast, allowing them to hunt deer throughout the region under federal subsistence regulations. Currently, residents of some parts of the region are limited to just portions of the panhandle under those federal regs. Bangs thinks that should change.
We felt it was important that we didn't restrict subsistence users that have always gone to other communities to visit families or whatever.
There's also a proposal submitted by the Wrangell Fish and Game Advisory Committee to limit the federal designated hunter harvest for deer around Petersburg, Wrangell, and Cake. That program allows a person to hunt on behalf of someone else. Bang says that proposal seeks to limit abuses of the program.
That is an issue that we're having a tough time addressing because there's some communities that rely on a designated hunter to hunt for the village, and that's the purpose of it, not to go out and see how many deer you can sign people up for.
Petersburg's Fish and Game Advisory Committee has also discussed abuses of that program and the possibilities for limiting it. The proposal would cap the number of people you could hunt for at 5 a year for the islands and mainland around Petersburg, Wrangell, and Cake. The Office of Subsistence Management opposes the change, and the federal board has rejected prior attempts to limit the program. The council is also proposing to reduce the annual deer harvest limit and season for non-federally qualified hunters on Prince of Wales Island. That's one change that could impact non-rural residents, specifically Ketchikan hunters and those traveling from out of state for deer on Prince of Wales. There's also a proposal to increase the season and harvest limit for bear on that island. Another would create an earlier opening for moose hunting in one area near Yakutat. One would establish a federal season for moose around Berners Bay, north of Juneau. Proposals also seek to remove marking requirements for traps. That would mirror a change to state regulations made by the Board of Game in 2016. And there are proposed changes to the federal rules for using bait to hunt bears. Bangs encourages public input during the meeting. The council's recommendations will be sent on to the Federal Subsistence Board, which gets to decide whether to approve or reject the changes at a meeting next April. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki.
For KHNS News, I'm Abby Collins. Thanks for joining us tonight. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.